Good morning and good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Maneuver Meta. Today I'm going to be going over the Swedish forces in World War III. I'm going to be doing a tier list here. All right, here we go. So, jumping right into it. Swedish forces had the same background as Finland, neutrality until war. Similar to Finland's stance, they knew what would happen if war broke out. You know, they knew what side of the battles they would be on, that they would be defending their country against an invasion from the Soviet Union and potentially other Warsaw Pact members. But unlike Finland, the majority of equipment, vehicles, and small arms were all designed and or produced in Sweden. And those that weren't, that they bought from other countries or shipped over from overseas, were pretty heavily modified, which results in some interesting hardware and design options. And so Sweden and Team Yankee, across the board, they have a 4+ hit on rating, a skill 3+ showing their highly trained nature, assault and counterattack a 4+. Their courage and morale and rallies are 4+. But due to the protection offered by their vehicles, they have a improved 3+ remount on their vehicles. One of the other special things Swedes can do is their tank command units can take 2 or 3 tank teams in them. So you can max out for a minimum tank formation of 9 tanks. 3 in the HQ, and then 2 platoons of 3, because their platoons can only take 3. So the tier layout, there's only 3 formations available for the Swedes, so I'm only doing 2 tiers, A tier and S tier. But that being said, in my eyes, all formations for Sweden are competitive, but some are just slightly going to outperform the others, in my opinion. But with that being said, my disclaimer is I feel that these rankings are more reflective of my personal play style when looking at Swedish forces and Team Yankee, and should not be used as an end-all be-all. If you think my rankings are different or wrong, please let me know down below. So, like I said, there's 3 total formations available to the Swedes. They have 2 armored formations and 1 infantry formation. These formations end up being very strong. The tank formations have in-formation infantry units, and the infantry formation has a lot of gray box support style options. Turn my notes over. So, holding us down at A tier is the S-103 S-Tank Company. The main issues on why this is an A tier, not an S tier, is the cost per tank and armor values. The platoon is a solid unit. The infantry platoon is a solid unit with the armored rifles, making the gray box options good, and the recon is a solid spearhead unit for kind of a throwaway. You can take 2 points for 2 PBV 302s, and you can go upwards of 3. So, starting off now with my gripes, so to speak, the S-103 problem. So, pros and cons, separating it out, what's good and what's bad. So the pros are the gun. The 105mm L-74 gun in Team Yankee has a range of 48 inches, outranging most other NATO main battery guns outside of missiles. It's got a halted fire of 2, moving fire of 1, AT-21 hitting with the force of a Milan missile with a 2+ firepower. And then it's notes for special rules. It's got brutal, forward-firing, laser rangefinder, overworked, and smoke. And so some of the other special rules as well is ambush tank, which allows it, so long as it didn't move, to remain gone to ground when it shoots. The cons, the gun is also a con in my eyes. With the overworked and moving rate of fire 1, this tank ends up playing as a very stationary or kind of a, if you move, you don't shoot kind of mentality, similar to T-26s in Flames of War, if any of you play that. Then another big downside is the armor. Front 12 with the slat armor putting you to front and side 13 against heat, that's just going to get straight blown through by anything. You know, the maximum roll you can get at range is a 19 against main battery, 18 against heat. Or technically 19 against heat as well. And so that makes it kind of difficult to really take a hit. Its defense is not being hit, which is where the ambush tank comes in. So it's hard for me to pass judgment. Oh, and real quick, its MG line is interesting as well. Halted 4, moving 3. So it can actually put out a fair amount of MG shots per unit. 3 tanks come in at 15 points. So it's hard to pass judgment on this. My main issues is how ambush tank is worded. With how it is worded, you cannot shoot and scoot to back out or down a hill, for example. Because if you do, you count as moving. And so then you lose gone to ground, unless I'm wrong on the exact wording of shoot and scoot. But that's always been my interpretation. You know, because if I try and shoot and scoot an artillery template, I've removed, or an artillery unit, I've removed the range end marker because the unit has attempted to move, even if it fails. So the skill 3 plus makes it somewhat reasonable, but the problem is no matter what, you will lose gone to ground. The cross check of 4 plus causes these tanks to be what I call linear huggers. They're going to be hills, fields, and walls, stuff that's going to give them concealment but not require a cross check. Really trying to avoid that 4 plus cross check. This thing runs into the same issue that T-55s do, where you tend to play on open field. Main gun is fantastic with the range in AT-21, with the only negatives being the overworked. The Brutal's handy as well, because you can long-range fire down infantry and buildings if you can manage to hit the infantry. This excels as an ambush tank and as a single platoon in an armored rifle unit. I could definitely see this playing very well. Could be almost S tier in that case. However, just with its rules and how it's translated in the Team Yankee universe, it almost feels like it's fighting itself. You know, it's an ambush tank that you're going to want to fire and then get back, but you can't fire and get back because you'll lose your ambush tank and you'll be hit on 5s instead of 6s, which is huge because this thing cannot take a hit. So when you fire, you end up having to stay stationary, which on the size table in Team Yankee just means that the T-55s are going to drive straight at it and then just obliterate it with mass fire, especially with it being 3. So those are my issues with it. Pretty minor issues, but from a competitive point of view, it ends up making it so that I don't really want to take this company really to anything. But that being said, going on to our next armored company, our STRV, Stridswagen 104 Centurion Tank Company. This is a fantastic company. This is starting S tier. I put this in the infantry formation in S tier for competitive playability. It's a hard to break formation with the two infantry platoons and the recon. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the S-104 is the best unit in all of Nordic forces, which I'll go into here in a second. The solid gray box formation. It's a solid gray box options with a large formation. And it's the exact same layout as the S-103 company, which is kind of nice that no matter what armor you're going to be playing, your in-formation support options are going to be the same. But now going into the S-104. So it's got front armor 14, side armor 6, top armor 2. It's got the ERA. It's 105mm L7 gun, has the standard NATO gunnery, 40-inch range, standard British style of halted 2, moving 1 with 18-19, 2-plus firepower, brutal, laser rangefinder, smoke, and stabilizer. It's got that 2-plus cross and a slightly improved movement statistics for the, I think it was an M60 engine? Yeah, the engine and transmission from the American M60. And so what that ends up rotating into for our pros is it is only 9 points for a platoon of 3 tanks. So this is 6 points less than the S tanks. It's ERA equipped with Brutal on the main gun. It has 4 MG shots no matter what because of how those MG lines are laid out. And it also has that 2-plus cross. That 2-plus cross is huge because it can just go anywhere on the table without really caring. The only real cons it brings to the table is the maximum dash it can do cross-country or road is only 18 inches. So this thing, while it is mobile with its cross-check, it's not going to get there that quickly. And then the only other real con in my eyes is just the problem with British tanks. Is it's halted 2, moving 1 on its main gun. And so when you're stationary, you're putting out 6 shots, which is actually a decent amount of shots. But when you're moving, all of a sudden that 6 becomes 3, and you start losing capability. So what ends up happening here is the armor gives a lucky save most of the time, protecting on a 5-plus firepower. Front armor 14 with the ERA makes an opponent need AT21 on the main battery to remove save or AT23 heat to remove the save. Because I am a firm believer in removing a save is infinitely better than giving a worse save, because there's always that chance. So if you can force your opponent to not roll dice, that is going to be a heavy advantage in your favor. In the current meta, T55, Leo-1s, and infantry, I feel that the S-104 really, really is going to be a standout vehicle. It's going to excel at engaging enemy infantry, with the only real outlier to that 7VR, because the Soviet capability to have an AT weapon that just flat ignores ERA is very strong. But it will kind of struggle against dedicated armor. But the S tier level of this is when you tailor your list with these as one of your anti-infantry options and a mobile anti-tank option as well. This becomes a very, very good unit, especially with ERA. Being able to put three bodies with ERA on the table for 9 points is huge. Really, all you have to look out is 7-4 is 7VR, but when you build your list and tailor it, it's not going to struggle, or it's going to struggle, so to speak, but when built properly, you can account for it. So, now into our other S-tier formation here. We have the PBV-302 Armored Rifle Company. So this is a massive formation with the capability to form 9 total units. It's got a standard requirement of 1 HQ and 2 of the Armored Rifle Platoons, with a lot of options for those gray box units. You can take an armor option of an S-103 or S-104 platoon. You have an IKV-91 anti-tank platoon. You have an ATGM option, either on basically a Jeep or an armored chassis. Then you have a 90mm recoilless rifle, essentially on a Jeep, and then the recon platoon. So a very, very wide, very, very difficult to break formation. So going into the infantry platoon, we got our 4+ hit on, 3+ save. Courage, morale, and rally across the board is a 4+, which is a little bit of a negative. Makes it so that you really have to have that commander hanging out. Skill 3+, assault and counterattack 4+, with standard infantry movement. So you got a lot of options. For 4 points you see here, you can take 2 MG teams, 2 Gustav teams, and 2 PBV-302s. The GRG M48 is a Carl Gustav team. That's all it is. I don't know why Battlefront felt it necessary to give it the full Swedish designation, because it's just a Gustav. And there's the only thing that's special with it is it's British style. It's mounted on a medium base, but can only fire as a Gustav team. And then your other option, getting myself back on track, is 3 MG teams, 3 Gustavs, and 3 PBV-302s for 7 points. Your MG teams have a 12-inch range, AT-13 firepower, 5+, heat and slow firing, AT line, in addition to a 3-2 MG line. However, it does only have that 6+ firepower, so that is unfortunate. Something I've definitely gotten used to with my Soviets is having that 5+ firepower on the infantry for clearing buildings. You put enough shots in, enough saves are going to be failed. You're going to start dropping teams. You have the other option, or you have the other, the Gustav team in there, which is a medium base team, not a small base, 16-inch range, AT-17 firepower, 3+ heat and slow firing. And what that medium base does is makes it so that it is not assault 5. Your Gustavs are still going to hit on 4s in close combat. So you have 2 options for +1 point. You can replace your MG's AT weapon with an improved 16-inch range up from 12. AT-17, 5+ firepower, heat and slow firing, giving them, I believe it's AT-4s. I don't know. They call this the Piscot M86. So a solid upgrade for 1 point, putting the unit to 8 points. And then you have another option to replace one of the Gustav teams with an RBS-56 Bill, which is a shorter range ATGM with AT-22. And it does have thermal imaging, but it does not give the unit thermal imaging, which is interesting. Oops, bring ourselves back here. The PVV-302... Well, that's a typo. It's essentially a AMX-10P. That's really what it boils down to. I don't know if that's the French autocannon or not, but rules-wise, it's the French autocannon with the AT-6. It's got the front three. It's 5 plus firepower with an anti-helicopter line, and then a 3-3 MG line, which is very nice. And so what ends up happening is your infantry platoon, what I've encountered is it opens up two play styles. You can upgrade the MG teams and push out six 16-inch range AT-17 shots. Three of them on 5 plus firepower, three of them on 3 plus firepower. They're still slow firing, so if you move, you're at plus one to hit, but you have no assault modifier, so you're hitting on fours in close combat. Your other option is to upgrade one Gustav team to a Bill if you're playing a little bit more of a static defense. Or for the third option, you can upgrade both. I, however, push for the min-maxing, that it's better to do one thing really well than trying to do all things at once. So if you're going to be defensive, upgrade the Bill. If you're going to be offensive, upgrade the MG teams. I personally lean toward the MG upgrade and then write my force to deal with anything AT-17 cannot. So all sorts of options that you can take for Milan missiles and such, and anything to really just blow through that front armor, getting up to AT-21. AT-17 is important because it ignores bazooka skirts. And so in this meta of T-55 Leo 1 spam, it's a direct counter to it, and AT-17 as well is able to blow through pretty much any IFV outside of the Martyr 2 with its Chobrum. But, I mean, even things with applique armor of 13, you're looking at a 4 to equalize and a 5 to ignore. You know, you get enough of these infantry teams on the field and really start volley firing those IFVs, they're going to go down. So that's the only real big con, is they don't have an answer to ERA. You're hoping your opponent rolls a 1 if you're volley firing into a tank equipped with ERA, which you're going to want to be going on side armor on. And that's the other thing, too, is with that AT-17, you usually end up wanting to go to side armor to guarantee the no save. So even in a roundabout way, they end up being good in defense because your opponent doesn't want to assault them because unless they have ERA. But if your opponent has more of a standardized tank or a IFV unit, they're not going to just be able to roll over because this unit's going to have six AT-17 shots. So they're going to have to spend turns softening this unit up, which is then pushing the time back on the turns, which is making it more beneficial to you as the NATO player who tends to wanting to be get to turn six to force the opponent off. So now for our gray box options, or following my notes here for the next slide on the infantry platoon, kind of going into what I was mentioning earlier, you got four ways to run the unit. No upgrades, partial upgrades, or full upgrades, replacing the MG line or the Bill line. And so you really just end up, my recommendation is to pick a playstyle and build this unit towards it. You're either going to be running forward with your PPVs jumping out and volley firing with your six AT-17 shots, or you're going to be replacing one of the Gustavs with a Bill and sitting back on an objective and using that Bill to try and pick out tanks. So, kind of what I just said there. Still trying to figure out exactly how I'm doing the slide bit here. Taking inspiration from other creators on these. So min-max, write your list. I personally lean more towards the offensive style of just spamming out Gustavs and Piscot M86s to be able to move forward with AT-17. So now we are finally into our gray box options here. IKV-91. 5 points for 3 tanks. This thing's front armor 3 with a pretty decent gun. 36-inch range, halted 2, moving 1, AT-17 firepower 3+, with heat and laser rangefinder. When you're looking at this by itself, it's B tier at best. I find it has a very high skill cap to use. One of its big benefits is with that front armor, it dodges deep reserves, but one of the big negatives with that front armor is it can pretty much get overmatched by anything. And then I am massively biased towards these little things because I just absolutely love that. Love the little bastard, you know. It's terrain dash, cross country dash, road dash. This thing's got some mobility with the 3+ cross check. The only thing that it runs into is with heat for its main ship, for its main battery here, you're going to be running into heat defenses that make it a little bit difficult to use. But this thing with its range of 36 inches, you know, it can sit back and volley fire pretty well. Standard Swedish stats with a remount 4+ instead of 3+ though. So when used properly with dodging deep reserves, this thing can be very handy. Your ATGM options, you basically have an unarmored and an unarmored team. The armored team does not get scout, the unarmored team does. You get a basic AA gun, just a basic 7.62 on the armored version, which is only kitted with a ITO, improved TOW missile. It does not have the build, but then the Valpin can take a improved TOW or a build. 4 points for three bills and 3 points for three ITOs? That doesn't sound right. Oh, someone correct me if that's not right. The bills give a higher AT but a closer range, shorter range. The ITOs give a slightly lower AT at a longer range. One AT point for 48 inches. I usually end up running ITOs no matter what because the 21 is enough to deal with whatever it is I'm trying to deal with. So for our recoilless gun option, we have a Valpin 90mm. I forgot to mention when on the prior slide. Valpin is Swedish for puppy, I believe, and that's what they kind of nicknamed this vehicle because PVP-JTGB is a mouthful, and the actual full name for that acronym is an even more of a mouthful. So it does have scout, so it will remain gone to ground when it moves. However, it does have recoilless on the main battery, which means you can never gain concealment if you shoot. It has heat and accurate, so if you stay stationary, you have a laser rangefinder. 28-inch range, 4 points for four teams. I go back and forth on this. It doesn't have any assault rankings because it's unarmored. You're running the same issue with unarmored. You're running the same issue with one armor. I've played a couple games with these guys, and they usually just end up getting shot by stuff that doesn't care that they're concealed gone to ground, like helicopters or something, or artillery. You know, they'll just blast on it. It's basically a 4-plus save infantry team. So I end up usually not running these, as cute as they are. I'm probably going to print and make some just for shits and giggles because I really enjoy it. But then going into our recon option, which this is the first time that I'm actually showcasing the recon option outside of just saying there's a recon option. It's a basic PBV 302 with spearhead and scout, 2 points for two, 3 points for three. The only thing that's different from the other PBV is it has the, for whatever reason, its machine gun is only a 1-1 instead of a 3-3. So it's got the 3-2 autocannon and a 1-1 MG, whereas the transport is a 3-3 MG. So not sure what ended up happening there. It's a cheap recon unit. You know, 2 points for two bodies that give you spearhead, with decent mobility, 24-inch cross-country dash, 4 inches less than a BMP, but still pretty solid. Then going right into our support options. You have a one artillery option with Swedes, but it is a fantastic artillery option. It's a band cannon. You get 9 points for three of these. A little expensive for games under 90 points. However, this does net you a skill 3 autoloader and 2+ firepower gun with an MG slot. This thing's fan-freaking-tastic. It's absolutely brutal. The long barrel on that thing gives a direct fire of 32 inches if you're ever wanting to utilize that with firepower 1+. But a 104-inch range is going to hit anything that you need it to, and that autoloader with a repeat bombardment is going to be hitting those Warsaw Pact teams on twos and NATO teams on threes, and that 2+ firepower just, this thing is terrifying to deal with. Then for your AA option, you got an LVRB V701. It's a gopher with Swedish stats. Three of them for 4 points. You get an MG, and it's armored front three, side one, top zero, with decent mobility stats. And then just a two-shot halted AA missile, 4+ firepower. Got some duplicate units. You have a PBV 302 recon in support. You have a option of either the 551, which is the ITO armored carrier, or the Valpin ATGM and the IKV-91. So if you're running an infantry formation, you can duplicate your 551 and your IKV-91s to start going wide with stuff. In a manner similar to the Finns, you have Finnish support options that you can take Allied support in similar manner to Flames of War, and the feeling of it being one platoon instead of needing to take an entire company. You can have one slot that can take any of the Finnish armored platoons between the T-72 FM-1, FM-2, and the T-55M. One slot can take a BMP-1 or a BTR-60. No BMP-2 option, though, which is disappointing in my eyes, because I would love to run a single unit of BMP-2s with my Swedes, but you can still take that BMP-1. And then a final slot for a 2S1 Carnation, so that you're able to get a little more artillery options because that band cannon is literally the only option for the Swedes for artillery. Your air support options are a HKP-9, which is a German PA, but it has an ITO instead of a hot missile. So that AT-21 kind of holds it back at 6 points for two of them. I don't see it as cheap enough to justify AT-21 on the missiles. The German PAs being able to take in a group of two at AT-23 for 8 points is just head and shoulders above. I'm not sure if going 24 points for eight of these is really going to be worth it. That being said, however, though, the Viggen. I really have been enjoying the Viggen. 4 points per plane, hit on 4+ with a save on 5+. The big thing being the Maverick missiles. It also has a rocket launcher for a salvo one-shot, a 30mm cannon, but it only has a rate of fire 2, so eh. But the Maverick missiles, minimum 8, max 36, rate of fire 1, AT-27 firepower 2+, brutal, guided, and heat. This is an 8-point delivery system for Maverick missiles. Putting two of these in the list and putting them on the table and rolling for them is something that will make your opponent think twice, especially if they have second-gen MBTs, if they want those AA elements on the table. Because if they run the risk of not putting those AA elements on the table to get more direct fire options to deal with everything else, and the planes end up coming on, this thing has been just absolutely demolishing T-72Bs, T-64BVs, Abrams, Leo 2s, you name it, it just comes in, and with that 36-inch range, you have a large bubble to play with for close-range AA options, where you can end up focus firing the long-range ones and then just being able to play outside of the range of the closer-range stuff. But I'm only putting it at A-tier because of the 5+ save. It keeps the overall points cost down, but if it gets hit, it's usually going down. Which I guess is kind of the MO for all of Team Yankee. If you get hit, you're going down. But 8 points for two Maverick missiles, that's something I've been messing with and really enjoying. And plus, I'm biased because I think the Viggen just looks absolutely beautiful. So I'm painting mine up, going to be doing it in a splinter winter camo, because my entire Swedish army is going to be winter. So I'm very excited for how that's going to be looking. So here are two sample lists that I've done that are full Swedish lists. So I've been experimenting a lot with Finnish allies of being able to put them in. So for an 80-point list, I have a dual formation list, a S-104 Centurion Tank Company with 9 S-104s and a unit of 2 Recon PBVs. Then I have a PBV-302 Company, which I have the infantry kitted out as what I call the Assault Doctrine with the improved AT line on the MGs, not taking the bills. 3 IKV-91s, 3 551s, and the 2 recon units. Then support, I have the 3 band cannons, a unit of direct fire AA, or not direct fire, a unit of the Swedish Gophers, another unit of 551 anti-tanks for 2 more Milans, and the Viggens. What ends up happening is, if I can recall correctly, the reserves are the S-104s and one of the recon units when I'm defending. Otherwise, everything else is on the table. And then if it's a meeting engagement, depending on my opponent, either all the infantry is going on or all the S-tanks, S-104s are going on. Those two Viggens are in there. Honestly, for mind games, force you to make a choice. If you put AA on the table, okay, I'll leave the Viggens off the table. If you don't put AA on the table, those Viggens are going on, and I'm rolling for them every turn. And if they come on with it being a direct fire line, that can start hurting. Then for a 115-point list, going a little bit wider with the Centurions, running 12 instead of 9, added in a Assault Doctrine infantry platoon. Then for the PBV Armored Infantry Company for another dual formation. I'm always a fan of running at least two formations, so it's that much harder to break you. The two infantry units in assault formation, the 3 IKV-91s, another 3 S-104s, so this list actually has 15 S-104s, and then a 551 anti-tank platoon. In support, you have the 1 unit of band cannon 1s, bringing in allies for 3 carnations, so I get 2 templates and 2 smoke lines. Another unit of 3 551s for those ITOs, and then 2 units this time of the anti-aircraft missile platoons to double up my AA defense with the Viggens. And then Viggens, double up my AA defense against my opponents, and then having Viggens. So overall, I feel Sweets are very competitive, especially with their S-104s. The difficulties they're going to run into is AA defense, because the only thing that you have is those LVRB V-701s, which are fantastic, but on their own, they can be overwhelmed rather easily, as they only come in platoons of 3, and it is 4 points. So I can put 8 points to put 6 bodies on the table, and they don't have the option to direct fire against something either. Well, they have an MG line, but it's a 7.62 MG. So overall, I'm very happy with how they're sitting. I do feel that their strongest iterations are when paired with Finnish lists, of being able to take those cheap mortar options. But be sure to check out, once again, Miller Bros. I'll have his links down below. He did a fantastic Swedish Kickstarter, where the only things he's missing that didn't get funded was IKV-91s and the band cannons. Everything else is in that Kickstarter, infantry and included. The 551, the 701, S-104s, S-103s, PVVs. It's a fantastic Kickstarter, or it's a fantastic grouping compilation pack. I don't know exactly what to call it. They're fantastic models. I cannot recommend them enough. So be sure to check that out. I'll have his store link down below. And he also has a Finland Kickstarter that's wrapping up and will soon be available for those that are looking at doing Finns and being able to incorporate those in as well. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, I believe our next episode is going to be Norway followed by Denmark. And then we're going to sneak in and do some recordings for NATO forces. So be sure to keep your eyes and ears peeled for those reveals when they start coming out. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, remember, pick maneuver.